Our mind is like a sponge. It absorbs everything. But what are we soaking up, men? Hi, I'm Brian Patrick. As we continue our series on spiritual warfare, the battle for the mind is our topic this time on Crossing the Goal. As we continue our series on spiritual warfare, we're kicking off our show on the battle for the mind. Let's meet our Crossing the Goal team. Vice President of Renewal Ministries, Peter Herbeck, the founder and president of the Fellowship of Catholic University Students, Focus, Curtis Martin, and our all-pro wide receiver and former NFL coach, Danny Abramowitz. Coach, I know in your NFL days, you'll remember that before you ever get out on that field, it really all starts right here, doesn't it?
It certainly does, and the devil loves to infiltrate the mind because once he establishes himself in the mind, he has easy access to our soul, and that's where the real damage takes place because his objective is the destruction of the body, mind, and the soul.
Yeah, and to recognize that it's not just that we're thinking, that we have our kind of head in the game, but what are we thinking about? And to recognize that we've been given a biblical imperative to not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of our minds. So we're going to talk a little bit more about that.
I mean, the battle for the mind goes all the way back to the garden. Remember what the devil's temptation was with Adam and Eve? Did God really say that? Did he really say that? Did he really say you shouldn't eat from the... Are you sure about that? And he sows doubt into our minds, and that's right where it starts.
He's a liar right from the beginning. Yep. He's going to question the truth, which attacks our understanding of reality.
And his goal is to total evil thought process.
Yeah. That's right. He likes messing with our minds. But we're going to fight the battle for the mind, and for that we need a game plan. We've got one for you here on Crossing the Goal with Peter and Curtis next.
It amazes me that we have so many men that are, that kind of spirituality is among them. I've always kind of, you know, as one of the talks said this morning, that we're afraid to show our faith and our religion, and this gives me hope that our faith is strong, and it will be strong, it always will be strong, and that God's behind us at all times, and that when we do have problems, and we do, as the church is going through right now, these kind of people are the ones who are going to keep it going and make sure that that the faith will survive at all times.
We're back. I'm Curtis Martin with Focus, and this is Peter Herbeck with Renewal Ministries. Our topic is spiritual warfare, specifically spiritual warfare as it relates to the mind. Listen to what God has to say in this very important passage. In fact, when we look at Romans 12, 1 and 2, I think this is a great passage for memorization, Peter. Here. Let's look at this. It says, I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. And actually the word there for spiritual actually is logical, not spiritual. So it's a mind issue. Your logical worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may prove what is the will of God, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. So we've got a choice between being conformed or transformed by the renewal of our mind. But what does a darkened mind look like?
Romans 1 gives us a really good picture of a darkened mind. And we're moving now in the spiritual combat and warfare. We're moving from that mind that's in bondage to the world, that's conformed to the world, into an enlightened mind, a renewed mind, one touched by the Spirit. So here's Paul talking about the reality of a darkened mind. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and wickedness of men who by their wickedness suppress the truth. So that's a condition of the darkened mind. Somebody who wants to suppress the truth, but to suppress the truth about what? He goes on to say, to suppress the truth about God. They refuse to acknowledge God as God and to give Him thanks. That this is the fundamental temptation that we have to say, He's God, I'm not. I'm a creature. I'm called to live for Him in every way in my life, to honor Him, and I'm called literally to praise Him. And there's a resistance in us. We don't want to do it. And Paul goes on to say, he says, they exchange the truth of God for a lie, and they worship the creature rather than the Creator. This is a mind that's conformed to the world, that refuses to acknowledge the truth about God. Now, the difference between a darkened mind, that mind that's in bondage, which is disobedient, arrogant, proud, rebellious, Now, the renewed mind is one that's touched by the Holy Spirit, acknowledges the Lordship and Majesty of Jesus Christ. He's God, I'm not. Frees me up to obedience, humility, teachability. I want to know the truth. That's the contrast between the two.
You know, these passages in Romans, we started with Romans 12 and now we're in Romans 1. And again, the entire first chapter of Romans, absolutely amazing blueprint that kind of describes Paul's world back in the first century, but also our world, a world that has forgotten God. And to realize the first step in this tragic, just death spiral, spiritual death spiral, is actually not a sin of commission. It's a sin of omission.
Right. That's a good
point.
We were
called to honor God and give Him thanks. And we didn't do it. Yeah. Because we were creatures, we were created, we were given life, we were supposed to return that gift by giving thanks and honoring our Creator. We chose not to do it, and that starts us in this terrible darkening of our intellect and a hardening of our heart. So you end up in a very bad place. You read this this passage in Romans 1, it gets pretty dark pretty quickly.
Yeah. And here's the devil's strategy. If he can sow a lie and sow a thought, he sows a thought, you reap an act. Sow an act, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. So a character, you reap a
destiny.
You literally, what he's after is the eternal destruction of your soul. And it begins with a lie, a fundamental lie. And how do we move from the darkness to light? As we put our mind under the Word of God. We put it under the teaching of the church. We put it under the Lordship and Majesty of Jesus.
And the amazing thing here is that it actually is related to our heart. We believe the wrong things because we love the wrong things.
Yeah.
And there's this dance going on in our souls between our intellect and our will, with we're thinking the wrong things because we're loving the wrong things. And the whole point is it's a call to radical conversion in the person of Jesus Christ, to recognize, Lord, when we talk about the truth, we're not talking about a series of truths. We believe everything the church teaches. They're all true. But more than a series of truths, it's a person.
Yeah.
I am the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus says. Our loyalty to the truth is a personal loyalty to the person of Jesus Christ.
Amen. And one of the ways to come more closely united to Christ is right here in His Word. It's a living Word. Jesus Christ is revealed here. And this Word is like fresh water that runs over our mind. Think of our mind like a sponge.
Yeah.
A mind that's in bondage is like a sponge that's thrown into dirty water and absorbs the water and dirties the sponge. The Word of God is like fresh water that pours over that sponge and just rinses out all that dirt. So this is why the Holy Father Pope Benedict XVI said, read the Word of God every day. It'll cleanse your mind. It'll cleanse your heart. It'll fortify you and fill you with truth.
It begins to renew the world if we begin to do
absolutely.
That. I mean, to live a daily meditation, a thoughtful, prayerful reading of the Scriptures, 5-10 minutes a day, combined with a sacramental life of regular confession and going to Mass as frequently as you can, that all of a sudden creates within us the renewing effect that God is looking for and that we so desperately need and the world is waiting for. What are some practical steps we can take to renew our mind?
I think one of the best things to do is to get in a Bible study. If you're not in a Bible study, a lot of guys don't like that sort of and don't know how to do it. Go to your parish, find out, where can I get into a good Bible study where I can learn the Word of God, share it with others, speak the Word, memorize Scripture. It's a very good idea. Praying the Rosary gives you the whole story of salvation history, commit it to your mind and to your heart.
No, the mysteries of the Rosary are a wonderful reflection. We as Catholics know biblical stories, but we don't think about them often enough. The Rosary allows us to meditate on those mysteries and leads us back to a renewal of our mind. Brian?
All right, thanks Curtis and Peter. And Coach, now that we have a solid game plan for the battle of the mind, I don't think we're going to be playing mind games down there in the red zone.
We can't do that because these guys would get totally lost.
It's a real battle in the red zone next on Crossing the Goal.
It's so it begins.
Here we go.
It's so it begins.
Time to roll up the sleeves.
Absolutely.
All right. That's the way we're going to be doing it.
You know the way.
We've moved into the red zone on Crossing the Goal, our topic, the battle of the mind. And Danny, the evil one has a way of really getting into our head, doesn't he?
Yeah, and we got to guard the gateway of our mind. And how does he get in? What do I mean by that? He gets in through what? TV, internet, news, all these kind of devices that he uses. But how do we protect ourselves against that? Well, first of all, we got to know what our weakness is. He knows it. We need to, if we're spending too much time at these things, we need to know that. So Then what you do is say, okay, I need to do something because I'm involved with these devices. I'm in over my head sometimes. And then what do? Replace it with something that's positive, that can educate yourself. You'll find out, if you really look at it, be honest with yourself, an ungodly amount of time spent in watching and listening to stuff that doesn't help us at all. And we don't spend the time on the right things.
Yeah.
No, I think it's what I see with the younger people is the question that comes up, and it's not asked with necessarily with an edge, but it's I don't see what's so wrong with that. But let's go back to our point here, and that is the effect of the devil's working upon our minds is that our intellect is darkened. What happens when your intellect is darkened? You don't see. So to start a sentence saying, well, I don't see what's so wrong with that. I agree. You don't see what's so wrong with it, but it is wrong. It is harmful. What we need to do is trust the church to be able to understand what's right and wrong. Trust the saints to know what's right and wrong, to find the best path. Because it won't at first see what's so wrong with it, and yet everything, like the Chinese water torture, is dripping on us in the wrong direction, driving us further and further away from God. Any individual drip might not be the problem, but it's the constant bombarding of those things that just pulls us away.
Yeah, you could argue, though, that the saints didn't have the internet or cell phones and texting, so they didn't have these distractions.
Well, the battlefield's maybe a little more intense in our day. And we're not trying to say that, television is bad or the news is bad or anything like that. We're not making that kind of point. No. We're saying the reason there's problems there is because they're all created by human beings. And the human heart is weeds and wheat. It all comes from us. And so what we get on TV is weeds and wheat. Some of it's good, some of it's bad. And so you have to be alert, you have to be awake, you have to be discerning. Sometimes that's not so easy because we just get lazy, we just keep clicking, you just let things come, just let things happen. And before you know it, you're getting all kinds of stuff in your head you shouldn't, your guard goes down. You just open the gate and let it come in, you know?
Just to personalize this a little bit, I can remember before I turned my life really around is that when I woke up in the morning, I couldn't wait to get to the sports page or turn television and find out about sports.
Sure.
And then
read about yourself. That's what you're trying to do right now.
There wasn't much in there, so I didn't have to spend much time about myself. Yeah. But no, I was spending a lot of time doing that and then watching a lot of sports. I mean, I like sports. There's nothing wrong. But I wasn't doing the other things also. There's a balance in here.
What does your morning look like now?
My morning now is I get up and turn the prayer life on instead of turning that on.
The prayer channel in your head, in your heart.
Prayer in my heart. Because who are we getting our walking orders from? And when we start turning, and right off the bat, turn on the news and find, I don't know about you guys, as soon as I turn that on, I find myself agitated. Mm. And why is this, what am I,
I anchored the morning news for years.
No, you know how that goes.
And it's just filled with darkness.
Your face.
Now, me and my wife pray together.
Yeah.
And we spend, I'm not beating our drum, but through the power of the Holy Spirit, we spend at least 45 minutes. Now, that means we have to get up earlier.
Sure.
We do get out of bed, and it's not a sacrifice. At first it was, but now I want to fill my mind with the Lord and what's He saying, like you said, through scriptures and things of that nature.
You know what I think would be worth doing for a minute, too, is thinking about, we're talking about how the devil wants to sow lies and conform us to the world's way of thinking. Just think of all the things that are coming at us like daily now. For example, all the new atheist stuff. You know, God is not great. You know, the belief in God is a delusion. It's a fantasy land. You know, college guys are getting impacted by this stuff all the time.
Oh, they're getting crushed. And the arguments are not that great, but we're not showing up to defend ourselves. Yeah. And so a lot of college students are losing their faith because of these aggressive new atheist arguments.
And they're suppressing the truth about God. That's one example. Like another example would be the lie about abortion, that somehow I have control over my body. My body belongs to me. I can do whatever I want. That baby's in my body, so I can abort. Well, guess what? Your body's not your own. Your body, it belongs to God. And that's another lie that the devil wants to sow.
Think about that. You show any 9-year-old girl or boy what an abortion is, they would be scandalized. But by the time they're 15, it's all of a sudden become a civil right.
Yeah.
Because the way that they've been educated, their intellect has been darkened.
See, that's just a lie. It's a darkened mind.
But in our mind, we're afraid to speak up because why? We're afraid what other people are going to say because we say it. Just tell the truth. You guys talked about the truth. Speak the truth. Yeah. This is what it is. And start with our own family. We're afraid to evangelize in our own family.
Yeah, we got to stand.
We have to stand up. It's time to stand up.
Think about the thing that's happening now, you guys. Even like assisted suicide, this whole idea of it's now becoming, mercy. And
really
everybody has
nervous.
A right. Everybody has a right now to decide. I'm going
to
decide when I'm going to die. It's my right. I get to, guess what? God gives life and God takes it away. That's a fact. We have to stand up and we have to live in that. It's another way the devil's trying to bring us under what Paul calls about in Hebrews. You know, we're enslaved to the fear of death, under the powers of darkness. And when Catholic guys just sit around, oh God, you know, maybe, I guess they're right. Maybe that's right, you know.
But when we say stand up, some guys may be called to stand up almost with the attitude of John the Baptist. But you don't have to get in an argument. It's okay to just sit back and say, you know, excuse me, I have a different perspective and I don't want to get in an argument with you, but I at least want to say that I actually believe that unborn children have a right to life. Or I really believe that homosexual couples ought not to marry. Marriage is between a man and a woman or in order towards new life, new generations.
And that life is sacred to the very end. There was an article from Australia where a group of physicians are backing a proposal that once you're 70 and tired of living, you should have the right to die.
You know, another thing is, you're right on target, you guys, about speaking up. But you have to know what you're speaking up about. Yeah. Before we do these shows, what do? We prepare. Are you prepared to speak up?
No, see, we prepared months ago. We got together and talked about what we were going to talk about, and we've been thinking and praying about it. Fathers or men,
are you prepared? Because your kids will know if you're not prepared. If you're just going off the seat of your pants, coming off of something, they're going to say, what's he talking about?
Well, this is the power of being Catholic, because in Catholic, in a certain sense, preparation is like doing math when you've got the answers in the back of the book. I mean, we've got the answers.
The answers.
We have to figure out how to articulate them in an effective and winning way. But we actually know the answers because they're right there in the catechism, they're right there in the Bible. So we don't need to find the answers. We just need to learn the answers.
And it's the truth. You know, we know it's because who? The scriptures is inspired by the Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
It's God speaking.
Here's another big lie that's out there. Everybody's got their own way to heaven. You know, everybody's going to go to heaven. Everybody just follow your own bliss, sort of make it up as you go along. Because if there is a God, he's just a big happy guy in heaven anyway, and everybody's going to get in on their own. I mean, it's just a fundamental lie. It makes you lazy spiritually. It takes away mission. I mean, you know that so well,
Curtis. Well, what did Jesus say in exact contradiction to that? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but through me.
That's pretty clear.
So he's not saying there's lots of different ways. He's saying he is the way, and you can't get there any other way. Yeah. I was with a man in Lexington a few weeks ago, and he made a very interesting comment. He said, you know, for a while I was wrestling with the church's teaching on some controversial issues, and I was talking to a guy I really respected, a doctor, and he said, you know, you just need to act like you have faith. Just agree and then seek the answers, rather than seeking the answers and waiting to agree. And faith is that jumping ahead. I'm willing to extend you the credit because you're believable.
Yeah.
I'm not going to check out intellectually. I'm going to start do my homework so I can learn the truth. But when I don't understand, I'm going to assume you're right. Yeah. And that's the way we ought to treat God, because God is right.
And that's a fundamental principle of recovery from addiction, is we can't think ourselves into good actions, but we can act ourselves into good thinking, which is that battle for the mind.
You know, another thing is
the right thing,
that we don't have to say a bunch of words. The person that had probably the most impact on me in learning my faith and living the faith was my grandmother. She didn't say a lot of words, but I saw her actions, how the rosary in her hand all the time, how she treated people. Never heard her say a curse word or anything like that. But that was such an impact that made me say, there's something there. Look at what's making her different like this.
I feel the same way about my grandmother. I mean, just an unbelievable, we weren't real close. She lived 1,000 miles away. But every impression I have of my grandmother is one of positiveness, one of pointing towards God at every moment. She just was the clearest witness, I think, in many ways, my life. And my mom follows in her footsteps as
my
a great example to me.
My mom was the person for me. In fact, she used to watch with her friends at the Little Sisters of the Poor in Denver. She just passed away a short time ago, but she was that example for me. She just stood up and did the right thing. It's a blessing. We have the last word coming up from each of these guys in the end zone next. We'll also check our email bag as we continue with Crossing the Goal. I hope you'll stay with us.
Live the life that you preach. Live the life that you profess. And I think that helps more than anything else for people to see someone that's consistent, that's constant, and that's also, you know, unwavering in what they believe in and what they do.
I had the distinct pleasure of being able to coach with Danny for several years on Mike Ditka's staff, the Chicago Bears. And he's a wonderful one. He was a wonderful football player in this league. He was a tremendous coach, and he's even a better human being.
We have pushed into the end zone here on Crossing the Goal as we continue our series on spiritual warfare. The battle for the mind is our topic, and we'll have the last word on that from our guys on the team. But first, let's go to our email bag from Abilene. Deacon Terry writes, "We have four sons who are lukewarm in the Catholic religion, or maybe not at all. My question is, how do my wife and I bring our sons back closer to God and the church?"
Well, I have two sons, a son-in-law, four grandsons. And it's not so much what I say. It's what I do, how I act on an ongoing basis. Not a one-time shot. It's an ongoing thing. I got to love them. And when it comes time to really speak up, especially they ask me, like, "What do you think of this, Papa?" Or, "What do you think of this, Dad?" And I got to be able to come and just tell the truth. What's the word say? How do we live our life, me and my wife? And I think it's having an impact on our kids.
You know, a lot of times we look at St. Augustine and St. Monica and the great example that they give us, and yet Monica did not lead Augustine back to the faith. St. Ambrose did. What we need to do is recognize frequently God wants us to pray, to fast, and to give alms, and He will raise somebody up who will lead them back. But never give up hope and never give up at all.
Excellent. Yeah, my mom and dad basically prayed all of us into the kingdom of God. But I think don't be afraid when opportunities come also to expose your young people to something. Maybe a good book, maybe a good CD, maybe hear a talk from Danny Abramowitz, his testimony. Say, "Hey, you guys might like this." Now, you can't force feed your kid when they're at a certain, your children at a certain age. But you know what? A door might open and give them something that might begin to touch their heart. Plant a seed.
All right, a hardball from Joe out in California. He says, "Scandals. Why is the Catholic leadership so reluctant and so slow to hit the problem of sexual abomination toward God head on, and so fast to cover it up and pay such large amounts of money to keep people quiet?"
That is a hard ball, and it's a tough question. I would say that let's address the first part about the slowness. There has been a certain slowness, and that's tough. But these are men, just like you and I, and we make mistakes. Let's recognize something. The church is getting a tough rap here, and it's deserved because there have been problems. But the world's getting a pass on this, and the problem is not specific to the church. This is everywhere. In fact, the church, as far as I can tell, is the only organization trying to clean house right now. And so rather than criticize the lack of inactivity, the lack of activity, let's applaud the activities going on now. There's a vigilant global effort within the church to clean house. We need this to spread to public schools. We need to spread this throughout our culture because, let's face it, the vast majority of people are off track right now, and the church alone is now coming back around. So you're right to be frustrated, but don't give up hope.
And let's start it this way, guys. What can I do to make a difference in the church? Not worry about collectively. What can I do to make a difference?
Yeah. That's I was just thinking too that the church is going through, the Lord is permitting this to happen because the Lord wants to discipline the church. A good father disciplines those whom he loves. He wants a holy church. He wants a pure church. He wants a repentant church. That's why we're going through this hard time. He's exposing the wound so we repent, and then he can use us for a new evangelization.
All right, Peter, let's go right into your last word on the battle for the mind.
I just want to make a simple exhortation. You know, Scripture is very clear about it, about the power of the Word of God. You know, that the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. And I want to challenge you to read the Word of God every day if you don't do it, to begin to make it a habit. Why? Because the Word of God can examine the intentions of your heart and reveal the truth about what's in you so you can learn to live in the truth.
That's great. You know, our minds were made for truth the way that our stomachs were made for food. And truth is our best friend. To be able to rejoice in the truth is so important. I had a college teacher back in my freshman year of college who started me in a different trajectory by saying simply this: if you were to set truth as the goal that you would pursue for the rest of your life, you would live a truly blessed life. That's my invitation to you as well.
Guys, what I want you to do this week is take inventory of yourself and figure out what are you allowing to enter your mind through either watching, listening, or reading, and then say, is this positive or is this negative?
All right, Coach, if you like Coach's hat and the shirts that these guys are wearing and other resources like Spiritual Workout of a Former Saint or one of our playbooks on the virtues or the Our Father, you can find them at crossingthegoal.com. Great resources for men, and I know a lot of men's groups are using those resources for their Bible studies.
Great information about our conferences as well. Great
right.
Website.
Yeah. Yes. Crossingthegoal.com. For Peter Herbeck, Curtis Martin, and our coach, Danny Abramowitz, I'm Brian Patrick. We hope that you'll join us next time as we look at Discipline Your Body here on Crossing the Goal. Yeah.
very solid. So we'll do a different album. Take care.